And serial rapists often start with sex crimes at a young age. Like, I mean, and by young, I mean like at 12, 13 at the oldest, right? Like, mm-hmm. like sex crimes against their peers. They're clearly working up to two different things.
Hello, everyone. This is Alex.
And this is Em.
Welcome to the latest episode of The Good, The Bad, The Basic.
This is the podcast for anyone who enjoys binging new TV series and revisiting old favorites. On this podcast, we'll be discussing what we love, what we hate, and what's just a bit problematic about the TV and movies that we're addicted to, though not necessarily in that order. This week, we continue with our limited edition season and dive into a discussion of the tense, uncomfortable, and shocking miniseries, Unbelievable.
Based on true events, this series covers two detectives' hunt across two states for a serial rapist with an unknown modus operandi, and one survivor's years-long struggle to be seen as victim instead of liar. So, is Unbelievable worth watching? Stay tuned.
All right, everyone, here are some details on the series. This is classified in the true crime and drama genres. This is a Netflix original, and it was released on September 13th, 2019. It is based on both an article and an episode of a radio program. The article is called An Unbelievable Story of Rape by T. Christian Miller and Ken Armstrong. And the radio program is called This American Life by Ira Glass. The specific episode is called Anatomy of Doubt. The show creators are Susanna Grant, Eilid Walden, and Michael Chabon. The series stars Toni Collette as Detective Grace Rasmussen, who is based on Detective Edna Hendershot of the Westminster PD in Westminster, Colorado. It stars Merritt Weaver as Detective Karen Duvall of the Golden PD in Golden, Colorado. And this character is based on Detective Stacey Galbraith. It also stars Caitlin Deaver as Marie Adler. Marie Adler is a pseudonym for a real rape survivor. It stars Eric Lang as Detective Parker of the Linwood PD in Linwood, Colorado. This character is based on Sergeant Jeffrey Mason, and he was one of the police officers assigned to Marie's case. Bill Fagerbach as Detective Pruitt of the Linwood Police Department in Linwood, Colorado, the second detective assigned to Marie's case. And this character is based on Jerry Riggarn. It also stars Elizabeth Marvel as Judith, Marie's most recent foster mother, Brooke Smith as Dara Kaplan, Marie's therapist, Tom Amandus as Bruce Bronstein, Marie's attorney. And last but not least, Blake Ellis as Chris McCarthy, the rapist behind the attacks. And this is based off of the real person named Mark Patrick O'Leary. So there are a lot of characters in this, a lot of moving pieces, but these are your major players. Let's get into it.
Yeah, so I remember this show when it was announced, and it's interesting. It's very, not similar, but like similar subject matter to I'll Be Gone in the Dark, which is also about a California, like, serial rapist who it was then, like, known that that person, the rapist, was a rapist across several states. And it's like, and that's interesting. And like, I guess if you guys liked this show, I would also check that, that docuseries, I'll Be Gone in the Dark, out, on Hulu. So that's like immediately what it reminded me of. The way they commit the crime is similar. And they like came in the night, broke into people's homes, raped them, and then like bounced, like tied them up and then raped them and then bounced.
Yeah, it's really sad that, because the docuseries is obviously based on a true story that happened in, you know, California and an adjoining state. And this series is, you know, another true story.
Right.
On another state. So, like, obviously, there are probably a lot more serial rapists than people know of who have this modus operandi, where they don't appear to have a specific type, but just a specific way that they go about committing these crimes.
Yeah, definitely, definitively.
Yeah, it's so. Let's talk about Unbelievable. So this the series has. Let me double check for reference, but I believe it's 10 episodes. I'm going to double check this. I believe that it's 10, but this series packs a lot into those episodes. And I think it does several things well. But one of the things that I think it does really, really well is it makes you understand. Well, not understand. Understand is a good word. It makes you understand, for me, on a more visceral level than I could have imagined, why it is that so many rape victims do not come forward.
Right. Even when it's not like, and even when it's done like in this context, right? Like, because most
right.
rapes are committed by somebody that you know, right?
Right. And that's what blew me, because usually when it's committed by someone you know, right? You're, mm-hmm. The victims are accused of like, oh, well, you let him on. Are you sure you didn't lead him on? Well, you two used to date, or well, you guys went on a date. Maybe he thought, maybe it was implied. Maybe you're trying to ruin this person's reputation because you've got some agenda or vendetta against them, right? Mm-hmm. But like, not only did they accuse Marie Adler of lying about being raped by a complete stranger, they seemed much like so committed to the fact that she was possibly ruining, quote unquote, a complete stranger's reputation. Like, how is she ruining this man's reputation when y'all don't even know who he is?
Right. Like, how can she ruin the reputation of somebody she doesn't even know? Like,
okay, it's 8 episodes, by the way. I just checked. It's 8 episodes. But man, they was putting that girl through it. And one of the things that I liked about the direction of the series is that, like, we know from jump she is not lying.
Right. Because
I kind of hate those shows where, especially a crime of this magnitude, you are put in a position as an audience of questioning the protagonist. Because then I feel like when you throw your own biases into it, as well as the biases of the characters, it's a very murky situation, I feel.
Right. And I think it was a really smart choice for this show to just kind of off rip be like, and then also I think very cathartic for the viewer, in case if for some reason you didn't, does it say in the beginning it's based off of a true story? Like, is that like in the title?
It does.
Okay.
Yeah, it does. And in the trailer as well.
Okay. Well then, I guess like going into, well, like, so they do say it's based off a true story, but it's still cathartic for the viewer, the audience member, to automatically know that, like, this actually happened, so you can sort of not get that out of the way, but, like, you said, you don't have to, like, sit there and be, like, did it not? Like, no, it did, and, like, now we're examining something else, right?
Yes, and you know what, too? Because they set that framework with Marie, We as an audience, I don't know about you, but me specifically, it never even crosses my mind to question any of the other victims and accusers either.
Yeah, I think that's part of the function of the way it's set up. I felt that way too. Like, I never really wanted to question that. Although, yeah, let me pull it together. I never wanted to question her. It did a really good job in that. Shout out to Katie Denver. That's the actress who plays the lead girl.
Yeah, Caitlin Dever. She plays Marie Adler.
Caitlin Dever. Caitlin Dever. Shout out to her. I think this year was like her year, because she did this show and then she was also like the lead in Dope Sick, which was like another really intense, really heavy part where she played an addict, a coal miner who then became an addict and then died. So like, she's really getting these really intense. I hope she's okay, basically.
Like, yeah, she's because really she's definitely parts. She's pulling an Evan Peters right now, and I want old girl to come out on the other side okay.
Same. I want her to come out on the other side okay. She definitely is. So like, I was like, damn, she really did that twice in a year. Like,
she really did.
She really did.
But let's talk about Marie a little bit. So obviously the question that I have to ask, because I feel like this was the biggest strike against her, and Marie was seen as an imperfect victim and an unreliable witness to her own rape from the beginning on account, and a large part of that was her being a foster child. How do you think Marie's background and failure to be the ideal victim hindered her? Because even her own foster mothers, people she'd lived in their home and she had a good relationship with both of these former foster mothers, saw her as being an unreliable victim, and they doubted her story. And I think the most sickening part of it is that they admit to each other that they had both been victims of rape themselves, and basically thought that Marie's response to being raped wasn't the quote unquote right response. So they didn't believe her either.
Right. You know, I think unfortunately, she falls into that category, and she's really interesting because I think she just falls into that category of like you said, the idea of an imperfect victim, because she's not, you know, crying her eyes out, but she is sort of, she's dealing with the trauma in like an unexpected way, right? She's just sort of, she kind of turns in on herself. She's very quiet. She's not necessarily crying, but she's not well either. And I think her portrayal was interesting because, you know, people talk about this, about how like when you're raped, people don't believe you if you're not like bawling your eyes out or whatever, where it's just like, or if you can sort of recount the incident very calmly, like people are like, oh, well, it just didn't happen to you. And that's not correct at all. It's more just like we all sort of deal with the aftermath of trauma differently.
Mm-hmm. And I mean, the show alludes that Marie had bad foster situations before her last two foster homes, real bad foster situations. And she'd been in the system since she was 4 years old. And we know what type of people are in the system. Hell, we know what some of these people do to their own kids, let alone foster kids. Is it really beyond the scope of imagination to think that because she had endured really hard trauma before, perhaps even similar sexual trauma from a very young age, that she wouldn't have the same reaction as a quote unquote normal person? Because throughout the series, we see that that Marie is affected by her rape. Maybe she's not as demonstrative as other people want her to be, but she is affected, but not nearly as affected as she is by everyone calling her a liar.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And I think that trauma was, and this is a hard thing to say, but from an aesthetic standpoint, she seemed to be more physically affected and wounded, and felt a feeling of betrayal over not being believed by her loved ones than the rape by a stranger.
Right. And it's like, and to me, like, I feel like I get that. Like, I feel like I can understand that in a sense, because it's like, okay, this person that did this awful thing to you did this awful thing because they don't know you. Like, you know what I mean? They don't know you. They don't know anything about you. Like, it's just like a fucking sicko, a weirdo who, you know, did a fucking sick thing because they're just doing it to do it. You know, like I felt so ugly for her. Like, I felt so sad for her because, like, I could see myself kind of going the same route of like, this is just a crazy person who did a crazy, like, you know what I mean? I get like, but like the thing that would really hurt me, that would actually break me, is if nobody believed, like if the people I loved and really admired and cared for weren't supportive of me or like didn't believe me. that's the thing that would probably break me as well. So I really actually got that and like really liked that.
Yeah. And I think too, like, I completely agree and feel the same as everything you just said. But I think like, in addition to that, like my biggest takeaway was how she had to endure people doubting her word and like basically a slow character assassination for years over something that happened once. And I'm literally sitting there thinking to myself as a viewer, damn, she probably shouldn't have said anything.
Right.
Like, that's how bad it was. You guys, this girl was not being treated with the decency that you would give someone. Like, because even if this person was a known liar, which she wasn't. No one deserves to be treated like that. Especially, again, over an unknown assailant. She made an accusation on a nameless, faceless person. Who is being harmed here?
Right.
whose quote-unquote reputation is being harmed here? Let's be so for real.
Let's be so real.
And I can kind of, I saw it coming, like, very early on when the detectives asked her how she managed to untie her hands and feet, because her hands were tied behind her back. And she recounts a story, and the second time she tells it, she doesn't tell it the exact same way. And it's like, wow, they asked her to make the statement over and over again, not in the hopes of like getting details to add to their evidence bank, but trying to catch this accuser in a lie.
I mean, yeah.
Like, it's so sick, you guys. So yeah, let's talk about this, how the police basically re-traumatized and the public re-traumatized Marie, because it got to the point where they were scolding her over a quote-unquote false rape accusation and saying that being falsely accused of rape was quote-unquote the worst thing that could happen to a man. I'm pretty certain that the worst thing that could happen to a man and a woman is being raped, but I digress.
Yeah.
Then they bully her so badly that she recounts her statement. She signs an affidavit basically saying, okay, I lied. Like, please leave me alone. Right. Because she thinks that that will make her leave her alone. But then once she admits to lying and signs her signature to that, she's fined, right?
Right.
Lord, the girl could not catch a break, you guys.
It's just like, so it's interesting. I think this show, it's interesting. So this show definitely like wants to have its cake and eat it too when it comes to like its examination of like our legal injustice system. Because in one sense, like, they obviously, like, when she's raped and then they subsequently question her and then subsequently, you know, say a bunch of bullshit, it's definitely like a critique of the competence of police and the legal system, the competency of police, right? And the competency of policing, and like, is it even helpful? But then, and then, you know, she does the affidavit, and then like, Once she signs the affidavit, but as like a quote unquote admit to lying, another series of things happen that end up spiraling that she then herself is charged with a crime. So, and obviously all of that is to demonstrate and look at like the absurdity of our legal system. But then the show in itself is basically like True Detective. Like, right, once the Toni Collette and the Merritt Weaver, I hope that's her name, Merritt. Yeah, Merritt Weaver. Oh, are they sisters? Merritt and Caitlin?
No,
I'm sorry.
Yeah.
I'm
just reading. Yeah, one's Weaver and one's Deaver. It's just Deaver. White people names, girl. It's just white people names.
but that essentially changes once the Toni Collette and the Merritt Weaver characters come in and the show sort of takes on this like True Detective type show, and not just Merritt Weaver, but then like the show then inserts like these women of color into it somehow, like into as like cops as well, and like they are like somehow not affected by the basic corruption of our policing or the legal and the legal system. So, like, that to me was just kind of like, okay.
I will give the show a pass on that because, and only because, Detective Rasmussen and Detective Duval are based on real women who were on the police force. And for me, that showed that a hard line in policing, not it, for me, it was never an issue of competency. It's not like these people didn't have the ability to thoroughly investigate the case rather than trying to build a case against the accuser and the victim. It was a lack of desire, right? These, I think that the problem with men in general, and this includes men in policing, is that they see rape as a crime against women and therefore less of a crime. This is one of the reasons why they make life so hard for female rape victims and accusers, and why so many men who are raped do not come forward, because they feel like not only have they been violated, they've been emasculated as well. It's absolutely no surprise to me that the people who were most committed to catching the serial rapist were women.
I mean, so, like, it is a TV show. Like, it is a TV show. It is, like, a work of narrative fiction. I'd be interested to know if, like, the women that it's based on, who is actually, I think her name, their names are Stacy Galbraith, and someone else, Edna Hurston,
Edna Hendershot.
I'd be interested to know, like, their entire record. Like, as investigators.
Yeah, no, I'm not even mad at that. And again, this is not me making a case for that, oh, there's only a few bad apples, blah, 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 because it's ACAB over here. Sorry about it to any of the listeners. It's ACAB over here. But I know that women, and this is across the board, have a reaction to hearing about a woman being raped, or in this case, seeing this overwhelming evidence of a rapist who hasn't been caught, that men just don't have. Like, they really looked at all of this evidence, because I'm not even talking about Marie's case, right? I'm talking about all the other evidence that they saw, because these women weren't working on Marie's case. They found out quite accidentally that she was one of this man's victims, because the souvenir he kept from when he raped her was her student ID. But they're like, okay, this rape is happening. We know those people were raped for sure. There's evidence left in their home or on their body in some way that wasn't left on Marie's, right? And why isn't anyone working on this case? I think, for me, that's just such a male response for them to be like, no big deal. I'm sorry, this is how y'all behave when women are, like... And again, the lengths that they go to defend a man you don't even know. The victim didn't even know this man. For me, it seemed like that response was one of not just defending the nameless, faceless assailant, but defending masculinity on the whole. And essentially putting forth or reinforcing a status quo where women are afraid to accuse men. Because that seemed to be the issue with them, right? Was that she was accusing a man of this heinous crime. So we're going to make this woman and any woman who's following the case or similar cases afraid to accuse a man of something like this. It's like, are y'all even protecting this rapist, or are you protecting yourselves? Because you are guilty of something similar.
Right. I mean, fair. These are all fair things to say and think. Sort of go through.
So yeah, I mean, I'm not saying they're gonna like come out of the woodwork when, let's say, it's like a race-based crime, because we know how white women do. But I could definitely see this response that they had and how it differs to the male response, because that putting on that badge doesn't mean anything. A misogynist is gonna be a misogynist, period. And a lot of those guys have corrupt police records of, you know, sexually abusing people in their custody. And they had accusations against them before they even joined the force.
Right. That's fair. I mean, yeah, all of that's fair. So, yeah. So this is like Tony, like we said, Toni Collette and Merritt Weaver. Oh my goodness. And Toni Collette does a great job in this. I really love Toni Collette. I love her in anything. I'm always happy to see her on screen. And Caitlin turns in a good performance. And then Merritt Weaver also. It's interesting, like, this show has a lot of, like, just general, like, not general actresses, but a lot of actresses who are just on that cusp of really breaking, and since they've all broken. There's the character of the foster mother.
The foster mother. This is Elizabeth Marvel. I believe this is the same actress who played Elizabeth Holmes's mom in The Dropout.
Yes, there's her, yeah. and there's another
foster mom. Yeah.
Yeah, there's another foster mom who's in this show called Someone Somewhere. That's like, now she's the lead of it. Bridget Everett, that's who it is.
Mm-hmm. Go ahead.
No, you go ahead.
I want to talk about one more thing about this, like, Marie being branded as a liar. So, do you remember how after she filed that affidavit, was signed an affidavit saying, I lied, I'm just a liar, she returns to work, and then her boss sends her to work at a different location in the store, and, like, another coworker starts to sexually intimidate her? Like, can we talk about how basically being branded to the public as someone who lied about rape actually exposed her to more harm?
Right.
Because now, like, imagine if she'd been violated again at any point in time before it was confirmed that there was evidence she had been raped. Would anyone have believed her? Would she have even told anyone?
Yeah, that's a good question. I mean,
because now you have the reputation of the girl who lies about being raped.
Raped. Yeah, that's, I mean, that, like, is it, because that too is a very ostracizing thing, I'm sure. That further ostracizes you socially. Which, I mean, we get when she gets the sort of, all that blowback from, so, like, being, like, harassed on social media and stuff. And how that's hard and sucks.
Yeah, and there's another scene as well that actually, like, made me sorry for her, but at the same time I understand the mindset of the guy. Well, I don't understand the mindset, but I don't know. Like, she goes to visit one of her foster mothers because I guess she doesn't want to be alone. Mm-hmm. And the foster mother's not home, but her husband is. And the husband tells her, like, hey, Marie came looking for you. But, like, won't let Marie in the house because he doesn't want to be alone with her because she's the girl who lies about being raped.
Right. I remember that scene. That scene is so whacked because it's like, what do you mean? Like, what do you mean you don't want to be alone with her? That's so dumb. Like,
didn't she live in your house for years? Years? She had plenty of time to, quote unquote, falsely accuse you.
Accuse you, right. Like, what does that mean? Like, it's that's something that I think people talk about, like, this overcorrection that can happen, that's silly. And I granted, his reason for not wanting to be alone with her is already on its face silly. But this idea in general that, like, men can't be alone with women unless, like, you accuse them of rape or unless they rape you, they lose control and rape you. Because it's like, well, what are you saying about yourself?
Oh, no, but that's actually a thing that happens, like, and you can see it on social media every time a celebrity is accused of rape. Like, men, again, who don't know either party, have no personal material interest in defending anybody, will come out of the woodwork and be like, see all these accusations? That's why I don't want to be alone with women, because they're so vindictive. You can't be alone with a woman or she might accuse you of something.
Right. And it's like, that's so, and listen, I am Black, so I do understand that in that sense, but also I think it's way more, like, it's a very ludicrous thing to be afraid of. Or right. It's a very ludicrous thing to think a woman is just going to randomly be like, actually, he raped me. I'm like, no. It's not like a thing.
Yeah, it's, I don't know. The way that they treated this girl, and like, Marie Adler is all of 5 feet tall and like 110 pounds, maybe. And this is the first time in her life that she's ever been quote unquote independent, because she wasn't living with a foster parent anymore. She was like 18 or 19 at the time. Right. And she was living in like a group home for kids who had aged out of the system.
Mm-hmm.
This was like, how do I phrase this correctly? At any time in her life, it would have benefited her more to lie about something like this than this time.
Right.
Like, it's just so weird. And, you know, shout out to the actress, what is her name? Brooke Smith, who plays Dara Kaplan, Marie's therapist. Mm. The therapist is the first person to be like, yeah, I believe that something terrible happened to you. Because either that or you're like the world's best liar. Like, I can see how this is affecting you. Like, emotionally, I can see it in your body language. It's very clear something terrible happened to you. And I'm not really sure why nobody believes you.
Right. Exactly. Definitively.
And it's like, when she said that, like, I breathed a sigh of relief. And I can only imagine what it must have felt like after what it'd been 1 or 2 years at this point to have somebody finally be like, yes, I believe you.
Right. I mean, yeah, dead ass.
Her own boyfriend started off with that, I believe you, and then quickly descended to, are you sure about this, Marie?
Right. Like I said, that like that deep lack of support that she gets is so unfortunate. But yeah, but then Toni Collette and Merritt Weaver are, you know, on the case, and they, you know, talk to a bunch of people, mainly women.
I thought the way they went about this case, though, now that I had to call bullshit, because they were swimming in murky waters, and there was a point in time when they thought it was another officer behind this, right? Right. Like, only another officer could be so slick and get away with this for so long, so seamlessly. And they actually, like, put themselves in this guy's crosshairs. Right. And I just don't see that as I don't know how much artistic liberty they took with this, how much of that actually happened. Because, like, anyone who understands the nature of police work, like, it's one thing to tell another officer that they're wrong, that they're stupid, that they're an asshole, but you do not directly or indirectly accuse another officer of a crime until you have not only layers upon layers and layers of irrefutable evidence, but you have the support of that person's direct superior and their superior. Like, you're not just going to go in another cop's face and be like, are you a rapist? Like, no, that's not a thing. That's not a thing. And that would make, like, literally everybody in their department, your department, and all the surrounding counties turn on you. Like, and ex-cops have talked about this, how even when they have rightfully accused somebody, like, the whole department will turn on them for, like, being a whistleblower.
Right. Like, yeah, you're completely right. It's like, even when you suspect a cop, it's, like, the hardest thing in the universe to even get them charged.
Mm-hmm. Like, so yeah, and then this guy is like literally like so evil, right? Like, he's maybe he didn't commit that crime, obviously, but like, he was definitely given criminal energy, right? And y'all let it be known that y'all thought he was a bad person, that you suspected him. I don't know as far as like this, for me, this is so antithetical to both police behavior and white women behavior. I don't believe that happened.
You know, it's interesting that you say that, because I think I, like, hardcore agree.
Yeah, you're not going to make enemies of, like, a person. And, like, this guy is supposed to be, like, he has a reputation for being a hothead, but he also has a reputation for being, like, getting a lot of arrests. I don't know that they would have confronted this dude the way that they confronted this dude, or tried to trap him, or tried to get a confession out of him via entrapment the way that they did. I just don't see that being a real thing that would happen in real life. I don't know.
I agree. I hardcore agree.
But let's talk about this one last thing. So they get the serial rapist. You know, first they thought it was his brother, then they finally got him. They find the stash of evidence of souvenirs that he kept from his victims. They find pictures of Marie, where even they admit, like, she looks really, really young, but they find her student ID among the collection of things that he has. And then, you know, Alexa play Vindicated by Dashboard Confessional. Marie Adler is vindicated. And everyone knows that she is in fact not a liar. And not only does she get like a, what do they call it? A reconstitution, remittance, some sort of payment from like the city, right?
Right.
For like the fucking trauma they put her through. Mm-hmm. But then she gets this weak sauce apology from the detectives, the male detectives, who again, were the ones assigned to her case in the first place.
Right.
Were the ones who were supposed to do this work in the first place. It's such a weak apology. It was literally like, oh, wow. Like, we're sorry we put you through all of that when, like, that you went through all of that when we accused you of being a liar. And not really, we are sorry for having accused you of lying in the first place.
Right. Right. It's like, it's very, like, there's a scene where, like, one of the male detectives is talking to the Caitlin Dever character, being like, oh, he's like, oh, I'm so sorry. And I'm just like, and I was just like, and then I'm like, fuck, you're sorry.
Right. And I wish she had said, fuck, you're sorry. I wish she had, like, and this again, but again, this is like, this is a part of the Marie Adler character, right? Like, she was that person who didn't display emotional extremes. This is one of the things that got her caught up in the first place. She didn't have an extreme enough response to her rape. But like, at that point, I'm heated for her. I'm ready to fight for her because I'm like,
same, y'all really just
put this girl through hell and back, and this is the best you could do? It's like, y'all didn't pull any punches accusing her of being all kinds of liar and scourge on society and, you know, being like everything that's wrong with womanhood and the reason why people don't believe victims, et cetera, et cetera. But when it comes to this apology, it's like pulling teeth.
Right. Right. It's like, it's like it would be so beneath you to apologize when like apologies are the least of what you owe.
Right. And I feel like, I mean, obviously not on a global scale. We're talking about a serial rapist here. He did a lot of damage, but like, personally to that character, those detectives did so much damage to her life because they ensured that not only do people think that she's a liar, so they won't believe her word, but people weren't even taking her seriously. Like, she had a hard time finding work, right?
Right.
Like, it affected literally every facet of her life. Y'all traumatized her over the course of a couple years over something that happened once. And couldn't even see how you violated her just as much as the rapist did.
You did. You had violated it as much, and then you also added to the trauma. And like, you know, as we've, and I know that like these days, like trauma has like kind of become like a buzzword, but like, that kind of things can do serious emotional and psychological damage to you. Like, in terms of being able to, like you said, being able to find a job, being able to have healthy relationships, being able to have healthy friendships and interactions with other people, like that stuff can absolutely like break you in a very specific way. So.
Mm-hmm. And then when Marie gets that payout, you guys, she just takes her little money and gets in her new car and thanks her lawyer and thanks her therapist and drives the hell out of town. And honestly, besides the lawyer, the therapist, and the two female detectives, it's really fuck everybody.
Yeah, deadass. It's fuck everybody.
Because where were you guys? Where were you? Like, listen, these women found the rapist ultimately not to help Marie, because again, they weren't assigned to her case. They don't even know who she is. They were trying to do their jobs.
Yeah.
That's it. And then And even as well as they did their jobs, they could not counteract the damage that had already been done by the two men who were assigned to the case, right? But right. at the end of the day, her friends and family should have been 10 toes down, and they weren't. And I cannot imagine what it feels like to a kid who's already in the system, who's already feeling bounced around and unsteady, like they don't have roots, like they've been discarded. And have these families tell you, your family, we love you. Even if you're not our foster child anymore, you can come through anytime. We'll be there for you whenever. And even they start accusing you of lying.
Yep. I mean, I don't know. Yeah, I don't know how you deal with that. I don't know where you start.
Like, she had that money. And, you know, she had her good name back for whatever it was worth. But, like, they say you really don't know who you're dealing with until, like, you're in a crisis. Man, did that situation reveal that everyone in her life was garbage.
Yep. Absolutely.
You have any final thoughts on the show?
Yeah. You know, I think that... So, yeah, like, the show is pretty straightforward. It's just a straightforward show about this incident and the girl. And it doesn't really deviate from anything. It isn't really, like I said earlier, beyond sort of feeling like it wants to have its cake and eat it, too, with its sort of examination of the justice of the U.S. justice system. It's what you see is what you get. Like, obviously, the subject matter is super heavy. So it's not a show that you just kind of, like, watch or just like put on to put something on. It's definitely super heavy. But like I said, I really like the portrayal of like the Caitlin Dever character and like this idea of like the non-perfect victim. And so I think if you're interested in something like that, then this is a show that you definitely want to check out.
Absolutely. And I think too, what's interesting about this show, and I didn't really think about it that hard until after I had seen the show. This is one of the few times where I had seen someone make a rape accusation, like in like a media, like, you know, a television show or a movie against someone that they didn't know. I had never really seen before what that looks like. I guess for better or for worse, they're not treated any differently for the most part than the ones who do know their assailant. This show is heavy, like Alex said, you guys. It's 8 episodes, but they really pack in a lot. You don't want to turn away from the screen because you don't want to miss it. I do like that the show got some really strong actresses for these roles. So a lot is portrayed through facial expressions and body language. It's not a show that you can like look away from and then come back half an hour later and know what's going on, even on the same episode.
Yeah.
And like I said, it's like 2 years that are covered, right? 2 years that are covered from the time she was raped to the time that she is exonerated for quote unquote lying.
Right.
So it's a lot. I think it's a good show to watch. It's a pretty good look at the legal system, especially from the perspectives of the detectives assigned to the case. There's overwhelming evidence that this is generally the fashion that rape victims are treated when they report. And this is why the rape to rape report ratio is so exceedingly high. A lot of people just flat out refuse to even report it.
I agree. So like all in all, my grade for this show was good. What was yours?
My grade was good as well. I gave it a good. I thought it was written well. I didn't think it lagged really at all. I think all the information it gave was relevant. And like I said, the strong performances all around, because even the supporting characters came to work. They kind of had to when you're dealing with a drama and a subject matter like this. Everybody came to work.
All right.
And there you have it, folks. This is everything that we think made Unbelievable good, nerve-wracking, and necessary. If you'd like to check out this series, Unbelievable is streaming on Netflix as a Netflix original. And if you've enjoyed this episode of The Good, The Bad, The Basic, be sure to share it with your friends. If you're a patron, be sure to check out our Unbelievable playlist if you haven't already. And tune in next week as we keep the season going by discussing the Freevee original Sprung, a comedy about convicts recently released due to COVID-19 overcrowding who decide to go in on one last job.
The Good, the Bad, the Basic is currently streaming on all major podcast platforms, so be sure to tune into our regular weekly episodes on the go. Leave us a review on your preferred platform and share our weekly episodes on your social media. Follow us at The Good, the Bad, the Basic on Twitter and at Good Bad Basic Pod on Instagram to get in on our daily content. Also, be sure to follow our SoundCloud page, The Good, the Bad, the Basic, where all of our weekly episodes debut. If you love this sort of content and want more, become a show producer and patron over on Patreon. You can find us at patreon.com/goodbadbasic. Your support allows us to keep bringing you our regular weekly episodes, as well as exclusive bonus material. Until next time, bye everyone!